ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भगवद गीता as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 9, Text 24. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha natumam abhijananti tatvena tascavanti te aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhur eva cha natumam abhijananti tatvena tascavanti te aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha natumam abhijananti tatvena tascavanti te. Krishna says, I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. Purport. Here it is clearly stated that there are many types of yajna performances recommended in the Vedic literatures, but actually all of them are meant for satisfying the Supreme Lord. Yajna means Vishnu. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that one should work only for satisfying yajna or Vishnu. The perfectional form of human civilization known as Varnashram Dharma is specifically meant for satisfying Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna says in this verse, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices because I am the Supreme Master. Less intelligent persons, however, without knowing this fact, worship demigods for temporary benefit. Therefore, they fall down to material existence and do not achieve the desired goal of life. If, however, anyone has any material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray for it to the Supreme Lord, although that is not pure devotion, and he will achieve the desired result. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha natu mam abhijananti tatvena tascavanti te. I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. This whole Bhagavad Gita is spoken to make Arjuna intelligent. Arjuna made the inauspicious start to the Bhagavad Gita by talking as a fool. And within this Bhagavad Gita, there is much delineation, differentiation, comparison between the person who is in knowledge, tattvavit, and foolish person, such as these who are described here. And natumam abhijananti tatvena tascavanti te. Those who do not know my true transcendental nature, Krishna says, fall down. Now, Krishna distinguishes between the intelligent person and the foolish person. So I've collected some statements of Srila Prabhupada, in which he says, don't be foolish. Many times Srila Prabhupada said this, don't be foolish. It's Guru's order, so you have to take it. Don't be foolish. But he's instructing us. Krishna is instructing not to be foolish. And instruction is also needed. Otherwise we may see sometimes a child is told not to do something, but they don't understand why. They can't understand why. Why shouldn't I put my hand in the fire? It looks nice. Well, you might not be able to instruct the child about... might not be able to instruct a child in a very philosophical or scientific manner that the tissues in your hand will, in contact with such heat, will become burned and painful. But it's hoped that people will be intelligent enough to understand why democracy is based on this. The ruling of a dictator is just do what I say. Otherwise, off with your head. Or in the technological age, you just shoot them. But the democratic principle is that people are intelligent enough to understand what's good for them. They may have different opinions, informed opinions about that, and therefore they can vote. But we see that actually people are not very intelligent. Everyone in this world is foolish. As long as one does not inquire into the nature of reality, the position of the Atma, the soul, then one is defeated in all one's activities. So Srila Prabhupada again and again exhorts his followers not to be foolish, and anyone else who will listen to him, because the position of an aspiring devotee in this world is that he is in between the situation of pure devotion and the material situation. He can fall back any time. So Srila Prabhupada warns not to be foolish. Here's one excerpt from a lecture in which Srila Prabhupada says, don't be foolish. Quoting Srila Prabhupada, when Krishna demands, Savadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, we foolish people, Srila Prabhupada includes himself here, but obviously he's not at all foolish, but in his humility he states so. We foolish people, we think, oh, it is too much. Krishna is so proud that he is commanding us that you surrender unto me. Oh, I'm not so fool. I'm not going to do that. So in other words, it's foolish not to surrender to Krishna, but we think, I'm not going to be... To surrender to Krishna is foolish. I'm not going to do that. So it's a different estimation of what is foolishness. This is the position. Continuing Srila Prabhupada. This is the position, murha. Because murha, they're taking Krishna as an ordinary human being. Because he is so kind, he comes as a human being and gives you the right information, right instruction. But we are so rascal that we do not accept it. Do not accept it. This is our misfortune. Those who are fortunate enough, they accept Krishna. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate. That fortune comes not so easily. After struggling, after associating with Vaishnava, with devotees, after cultivating knowledge for many, many births. So we should take this chance. We should not be foolish. Don't be foolish, murha. Just surrender to Krishna and execute Krishna's service, what Krishna says. Do that, you will be saved. You will be saved from these clutches of maya, repetition of birth and death. So, getting back to the verse which we just read from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, in this verse, states that he is the enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. It's another way of saying that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. there are so many facets of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of them is that he is the sarva yajnanam bhukta. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. He is the Prabhu, the Supreme Person unto whom everything should be offered. And one who understands Krishna's position, tatvataha, we know from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that person is not foolish, he is intelligent. That person is described janma karma chamedi vyamevang yoveti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. One, Krishna says, a person who understands in truth, fully, according to Shastra, tatvata, according to Siddhanta, proper philosophical conclusion, one who understands that my appearance in this world and activities within it are transcendental, such a person doesn't come back to this world again, but comes to me. Now, Mayavadis, when they hear this, they'll think, I don't want to go to Krishna, as Prabhupada says here. I want to be liberated, but I don't want to go to Krishna. They want liberation without Krishna. For them, they'd prefer some other verse in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Kshetra Kshetrajyayar Evam Antarangyana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Mokshancha Yevidur Yanti Teparam. Krishna says that one who sees with the internal eye of knowledge what is the field and the knower of the field, they become aware of what is the living being, what is material nature, and what is liberation. And they go to the Supreme. So, Mayavadis, they like that. So, we'll go to the Supreme, but no Krishna. It's not specifically mentioned there, but janma karma chameti, you come to mameti, come to me, and then the Mayavadis have to make some linguistic adjustment, because Krishna couldn't express himself properly. So that means, I'm paraphrasing the Mayavadis, they deserve every boot in the face that Srila Prabhupada recommended for them. Actually, Prabhupada said many times to kick them in the face with boots, so when we meet the Mayavadis, we should count how many times Prabhupada say that and kick them the same number of times, because you have to do it once for every time he said it, at least. Anyway, at least rhetorically, Srila Prabhupada didn't physically kick anyone in the face with boots, as far as I'm aware. You never know. So this statement is very important, that one who knows me, we see that Arjuna already knew Krishna. If Krishna had just said to Arjuna, well, anyone knows me, comes to me. Oh, well, I know you. Arjuna already knew Krishna, but Krishna wanted Arjuna to know about his position. Who am I referring to here? Arjuna's or Krishna's? Both. You have to know. Sambandhagya means to know. Who am I? Who is supreme? What is our relationship? So Krishna spoke that. Now that also suggests that one who wants to take up Krishna consciousness and just know Krishna without taking the trouble to understand who he is, what is his position as the enjoyer, supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices, the supreme master, that he won't get the result of going to Krishna. Because Krishna stresses, one who knows me, tatvataha. And in this verse, he states that those who do not abhijananti, Krishna often uses this word in Bhagavad Gita, he could just say jananti, and you could say that the word, because it's more or less the same word as abhijananti. So you may think, well, abhi, the prefix abhi, is just a filler to fill up the meter. But abhijananti gives the sense of knowing thoroughly. So one who does not know or does not accept Krishna as supreme, he falls down. So if we do know Krishna as supreme, we go up to Krishna. And if we don't know Krishna as supreme, we fall down. There's not much staying in the middle. Human life, well, we can come back again as humans, but sooner or later we're going to go up or down. So don't be foolish. There's the opportunity, even after having taken the devotional service, to go away. That is foolish. Actually, foolish is a mild word. We could also say insane. As Srila Prabhupada was once speaking to a group of university professors in Srila Prabhupada's garden in the ISKCON temple in Los Angeles. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking about modern civilization and the people are all mad. And one of the professors, wanting to tone it down a bit, said, well, I think this Stilson Judah is a very great appreciator of Srila Prabhupada. He said, well, maybe you shouldn't call them mad, maybe you should just call them foolish. Srila Prabhupada said that madness is the sum total of all foolishness. So foolish cubed or more is madness. And that's the condition of this material world. Foolishness, madness. Rishabhdev gives an analysis of why it is fit to call people in this material world mad. And again, he puts a prefix on it. Matta means mad. Pramatta means completely stark, flaming bonkers. He quotes, Nunang pramata kurute vikarma. Yadindriya pritya apinoti na sadhu manye yata atmano yam asanna pi kleshada asadeha. Rishabhdev speaks seemingly in astonishment that definitely people are completely mad if they perform sinful activities which causes them to get another body and they have to suffer again. If people know that by performing sinful activities I'll suffer, and still they perform sinful activities, and they get another body, this is mad, is it not? Just like if you're told, don't touch that wire, you'll get an electric shock. And touches the wire and gets an electric shock. Okay, we could call that foolish, pretty foolish. But if you go on doing it again and again, that is madness. Well, that's what we're doing. Life after life. We are. Even if we have the knowledge that we have to suffer for our sinful activities, we are so much impelled by desire. Arjuna asked this. He said, well, why should anyone do that? Why should anyone perform sinful activities? You don't want to perform sinful activities. It's not that we're going around making... A noble, pious person like Arjuna doesn't go around... He doesn't stay up at night making plans how to rob banks and hit old women on the head with an axe and steal their purses. He doesn't do things like that. Arjuna, he wants to do everything very well. He wants to be good. He wants to be a good person. But he feels that sometimes we're impelled to do wrong. I don't know in Arjuna's life where there is such a thing as doing wrong, but such a pious person, he may, even some very small thing, he may become despondent. That, whereas we'll do some big sinful activity and think, it doesn't matter. But even a small thing, Arjuna, he's so bias. He wouldn't cohabit with Urvashi. On the grounds of dharma, it's not proper for me to do so. Even he accepted the curse, which is probably the worst curse possible for a kshatriya. To die there for a kshatriya, he's just ready to die at any time. But to become cursed to become a eunuch, there couldn't be anything worse than that. A similar thing happened for this king. Who was that? That king, he became the female, Illa. King Sudyumna, that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. He became the woman, Illa. So Arjuna was wondering, what is this? Why we want to be good, why are we bad sometimes? Anichanapi varshtaya baladivaniyojita. Why is it that sometimes, atakena priyuktoyam papam charati purusha? Why do we perform sinful activities if we don't want to? And Krishna gives the reply. Actually, the reply, one word would suffice in the reply, but Krishna gives a whole verse and actually several verses elaborating. The reply is karma, which is nitya vairinam. It's the constant enemy, our constant enemy. Jnanam avritya dehinam covers our knowledge. So this is the great enemy. And it makes, why? Because it makes us mad. We act as a fool. We do things which are not in our own self-interest. Apaswartha parayana, this term Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to use. Someone who is very strongly attached to doing that which is completely opposite to his own self-interest. What could be more mad than this? So Prabhupada is warning, don't be foolish. He's warning his disciples. It's not that, okay, I came in, I followed the four regulated principles, 6 months, got initiated, okay. No, it's not like that. This madness that we may still be attracted to Maya. Maya is always waiting. She doesn't say that, well, you neglected me, you were chanting Hare Krishna. No, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. She's very willing. She says, oh, you were chanting Hare Krishna so long. Well, anyway, I'm always willing to accept you back. In fact, she's always canvassing. And Hare Krishna, okay, that's very nice. But I'm very nice too. So, you go on chanting Hare Krishna, but don't forget me. I've been your good friend life after life. When you were a grasshopper, I was Mrs. Grasshopper. When you were Hasti, I was Hastini, and so on. So, I'm always, you know, I have a long-standing relationship with you, life after life. So don't neglect me now. It's not proper to neglect me now. So Maya is calling in various ways. Don't be foolish. Prabhupada says, don't be foolish. Understand. This is Krishna. We are meant to surrender to Krishna. It's voluntary. But if we don't follow, then we have to suffer the results. Just as I read yesterday, Srila Prabhupada was talking about the protection of women. And he said, actually it's voluntary, because they can't be protected unless, a woman can't be protected unless she agrees to. However, the result of not being protected is that she becomes a street woman. She loses family, respectability, food, clothing, shelter. She loses everything. But still, we find the pull of desire is so strong that... no, actually, I read that in Manu. Manu was describing how Women have to be well protected, but ultimately they have to agree to it themselves. Otherwise, you can lock them up and guard them and this and that, but they'll find some way if they have such a desire to flout the principles of religion. So it's up to us. Don't be foolish. We accept a guru who tells us don't be foolish, but he's not going to follow us around at every moment. We can have him with us at every moment by his instructions, but ultimately we all have to fly our own plane. Srila Prabhupada gave that example. And another example he gave, this is probably the original Shastric example in Prabhupada, fly your own plane. This was some 20th century adjustment to the example of the geese flying in formation. Geese, you know what that is? The birds fly in the sky in a V formation. And they're all flying together, but if one of them becomes weak and can't go on, the others can't help. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, we have to keep our individual strength. We're flying with the others. They're there to encourage us. And there is some help, that V formation. So the ornithologists or whoever have studied that by flying in that formation, the air, I don't know, I can't remember the technical terms, but the the aerodynamics is enhanced, so it helps them all to fly together. And they take turns flying. One goes in, I suppose the one in the front doesn't get the aerodynamic help of those behind. But if one becomes weak, if one of them becomes weak, then the others, they're all helping each other, but ultimately if one doesn't have the strength to go on, then he falls down. So we have to keep ourselves individually strong. Guru's instructions are there to help us. We have to take them. Guru Mukha Padmavakya Chetete Korea Aika Ana Korea Hamane Asha. That way, if we take this, this is the same as Savadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. The same. If we take the shelter of the Vaishnava Guru, take his words to heart without desiring anything else, that is the same as Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. I mean total surrender, total immersion, nothing else, only Krishna, to accept anything other than Krishna is foolishness. At the same time, there is the process of bhakti yoga, in which it's understood that we come from the platform of foolishness, therefore we need to accept the process vaidhi sadhana bhakti, the process of rules and regulations. They are to help us. That is like a kavacha, an armor, which protects us from sinful activities, which will cause us to fall down. Sinful activities don't stop bhakti, exactly. Only offenses will, actually nothing stops bhakti, but offenses can very seriously impede them, very seriously impede the advancement. Sinful activity doesn't in and of itself stop bhakti, but it's not conducive to bhakti. It's outside the realm of bhakti. And if we perform sinful activities, that some scar will come on the heart. Just like this, if someone's engaging in devotional service, then he engages in illicit sex. He can come back. If his intention is to serve Krishna, then he can come back. But that involvement, that attraction, that fall down, he's had, that will, the thought that is in his mind, that will remain. And that tendency will be to do it again. If one accidentally falls down, means he wasn't thinking of it, wasn't contemplating, but circumstantially came into some situation where there was an opportunity for fall down and then indulged in that. Such a devotee can get up. But if one thinks, well, actually that was quite good, well, let me go on with it, then he becomes offensive. If one willingly performs sinful activities. Ajamila is an example of a circumstantial, or what we may call accidental fall down. Of course, he did contemplate before he took the prostitute into his home, but he wasn't planning on seeing the Shudra embracing the prostitute, which disturbed his mind. Disturbed his mind means within his mind that some desire was there from previous life, and that got stirred up. The sanskar, the impression in the mind, became stirred up by such a sight. So we have so many sanskaras within our heart. And in this material world, mostly bad. They may be good also. Maybe, especially taking to devotional service, there will be so many good impressions in the heart. I remember many years ago, our temple president at that time in England, Bhaja Hari Prabhu, made one statement which I remember up to the present day. He said that after some time in devotional service, even if your mind goes off and you're daydreaming, you'll start thinking about, well, there was this Rasiatra we attended and it was so good, because that's what's been in the mind. Whereas previous to that, one has in the mind so many things from this life, maybe from previous life affects us also. Just like Ajamil, that impression was in his mind from a previous life. This, I was just hearing in Bhagavatam, the narration of Utkal. No, not Utkal, that's King Anga, that the demigods wouldn't come to his sacrifice, and the Brahmins, they were examining that, well, we're all good Brahmins, we didn't do anything wrong, we chanted everything nicely, and you didn't do anything wrong either, we don't find anything wrong in your whole life, and not even in your mind. And all the paraphernalia for the sacrifice was collected. Everything's perfect, still the demigods aren't coming. It must be something in your previous life. So the effects of karmic activities, the impressions they leave on our mind, may be very deep, so they can pull us away, as if pull us away. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, don't be foolish, don't be foolish. Again and again, he says, don't be foolish. Yeah. Always the opportunity is there to engage in maya, sinful activities. We may think, oh, I just heard in the class, sinful activities, don't stop bhakti. Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So, let's have a look at my favorite sinful activities. But then if we start to, even to start to think like that, means that we're going backwards in bhakti. A devotee has no desire to this is the attitude we're cultivating, the desire only to serve Krishna. So rules and regulations are there. We may think, well, don't be very strict, just follow as you like. But the rules and regulations are there to keep us on the track of devotional service, tivrena bhakti yoga, to follow just very focusedly, very precisely. Otherwise, what is that? Srila Prabhupada often used to say, destination unknown. We don't know. If we are foolish, if after getting so much knowledge of devotional service, jnaya shunya bisha khainu, knowingly, willingly, We drink the poison of material life rather than surrendering to Krishna. Then we're in the most foolish position. So let us listen to Srila Prabhupada telling us, don't be foolish. We should be intelligent. Intelligent means to surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment? Please, if you have, please say no. Yeah. Anyone? All clear. Okay. Two classes in a row, I didn't get any questions. All right. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai, Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai.